Marimba Band on Monitor. Unhesitating Henry here. In this half hour, comedian Buddy Hackett takes a few swings at golf. My guest will be Lainey Kazan, girl singer, who has a new version of an old story, Cinderella. Here's Leapy Lee from London with his hit, Little Arrows.
There's a boy, a little boy, shooting arrows in the blue, and he's aiming them at someone, but the question is at who? Is it me, or is it you? It's hard to tell until you're hit, but you'll know it when they hit you, 'cause they hurt a little bit. Here they come, pouring out of the blue. A little arrow's for me and for you. You're falling in love again, falling in love again. Little arrows in your clothing, little arrows in your hair. When you're in love, you'll find those little arrows everywhere. Little arrows that will hit you once and hit you once again. Little arrows that hit everybody every now and then. Some folks are run and others hide, but there ain't nothing they can do. And some folks put on armor, but the arrows go straight through. So you see, there's no escape. You wanna face them, we admit that you love those little arrows, but when they hurt a little bit, here they come pouring out of the blue. Little arrows for me and for you. You're falling in love again, falling in love.
1969, Ford presents The Going Thing.
Oh, yes, it's a lonely thing. It's what's happening.
Used to describe my next guest. She's Lainey Kazan. You've heard her sing many times on monitor, and you've probably seen her on TV, and maybe you've been part of a nightclub audience when she's performed. She sings great and looks great. Lainey, and this is pretty obvious, you're the only Lainey I've ever known or heard of. Did you make that up, or did you start with it?
Well, my mother's a little crazy to begin with. And she made it up, I guess. It's my name. It's always been my name.
Did you ever ask her about it? Did she read it in a book?
I think she got it from Gone with the Wind, you know, Melanie and all that. She was very romantic about it all.
Your mother's back of you in the control room, and I just raised my eyebrows to get a yes or no, and all I got was a big smile and a partial yes. Look, tell me about the new album, Love is Lainey. There's some recitations on that. Is that a new trend?
I started doing recitations a couple of years ago and was kind of very put down for it, you know. But I kept doing it. Now it seems to be in, so what I'm doing is accepted. But I've been doing it since I started working in a nightclub. I've been doing those poetry readings.
Uh-huh.
And anybody who's seen me has seen me do them since I've started.
Well, I
added in, you know, done different ones, and I decided to record them and recorded them about almost...
I haven't been fortunate enough to see you do it in a club. Do the people hold still?
You bet.
Yeah?
It's all according to what you're doing, I'm sure. I mean, if I was just reciting any old poem, but I've been doing something that has meaning for me, and I believe if it's honest, and if you yourself feel it and believe it, then you're going to get something across to the people.
Uh-huh. I've heard you do a unique version of Cinderella in your nightclub act. How's that go?
It's a kind of tongue-twisted, what they call spoonerism, on a fairy tale, and I can't recite the whole thing, but it's kind of marvelous. All these twisted things about how her sister Yogas didn't Cinderella's Recognella, and all that. It's about Prinderella. And it starts out like, "Once upon a wine, there was a giddy little pearl named Prinderella," and it goes on from there.
Where'd you get it?
Well, a friend of mine and my ex-conductor and I kind of got together in Puerto Rico and put it together.
Oh, of course, if you're having trouble with your Spanish, this is sort of a way out.
Right.
It's confused everybody. Some people say that today, when you do the kind of work...
You sound just like you.
Isn't that a shame? And you know that I can't do anything about it? I've tried. But I was going to ask you...
Yeah.
My interview comes up on another show.
Okay, well, it just kind of struck me funny.
I don't know whether I'm flattered or not. I'll have to think of that. Today, when you work, do you make an attempt to arrange your act for young people or mature people or just old people who sound like me?
No, first of all, that is a definite misconception. You are not an old person who sounds like you. I do not arrange my act for anyone in particular. I hope I get to as many people of all ages as possible because I'm here to communicate, whether it be happiness or sadness or whatever I'm feeling, and if it's accepted by any age, and it seems, which is, I find quite interesting, really. I look in my audiences, and they're very variegated. I get everything from the hippiest hippie in the Plaza Hotel, you know, to the most sophisticated, and farmers and people. It's really kind of fascinating.
How do you recognize a farmer in the Plaza?
Well, he's got his boots on.
Are you from New England somewhere?
No, I'm from Brooklyn.
That's funny. Shows you that I know. That's I'm called the boy with the original wonder ears. Well, this is a highlight to me. And I know the answer, but I want to ask you. What do you like to do on your day off?
I go horseback riding.
Who owns the horse?
Me.
Lainey Kazan has been my guest, ladies and gentlemen. It worked out perfectly. Lainey, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, don't
letters to yesterday's heroes, cause yesterday's a love, and I've got to live for two.
Comes from Lainey Kazan's new album, Love is Lainey. At 19 past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
If you like lasagna, but you don't like to make it, here's a way to save time and money. Buy App's frozen stuffed lasagna, already made, ready to heat and serve. And what's more, you couldn't make it so well, so inexpensively, and so easily yourself. App's comes in two sizes, and the 4-pound package will feed a family of five for less than $2. That's App's frozen lasagna with sauce. Absolutely delicious. That's App's frozen stuffed lasagna in the red and yellow package at your grocer's, represented by Nickel Brothers Associates, Fort Lee, New Jersey. Saying thank you and holding a door open for the person behind you are small everyday considerations. But here's a thoughtful act, but a health saver as well. Remember to cover your coughs and sneezes. A cough or a sneeze can spray thousands of tiny germs into the air. These linger for hours, and they can spread not only colds, but more serious illnesses as well. When you have a cold, take care and show you care as a matter of life and breath. For free information, call your Tuberculosis and Respiratory Disease Association or write COUGH, Box 37, New York, New York, 10010.
WNBC. Right. Here's the strawberry alarm clock. Barefoot in Baltimore. You figure it out.
Children's in the jack.
Buddy Hackett discusses the truth about golf and other lies. Next up on Monitor Sports, brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company.
This is Al Capp. I was reading The Romance of Transportation. I'd gotten to where it really starts rolling, the part about the wheel, where Ice Age Man says to Stone Age Man, you got rocks in your pointy head that rounding out that big flat stone, it'll never go. I looked out of the window. A fellow was coming up the walk. He didn't notice my garden hose lying across it. He tripped over it and skidded head first into my big elm tree. Well, I wasn't worried. My homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty would take care of the whole mess, and I knew that my State Farm agent was a careful, cautious guy who always took the right steps and who kept a cool head on his shoulders, so I went out to meet the guy under the tree. I'd met him before. He was my State Farm agent.
For your home and your car and your life, State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Any resemblance between Buddy Hackett, the comedian, and Buddy Hackett, the golfer, is purely fortuitous. A report from Monitor Sports editor Len Dillon.
Buddy Hackett, do you cheat on the golf course?
Look, Len, I would say this. If I'm making a bet with a guy, and I never bet more than a $2 Nassau, but mostly a dollar, I would never move my ball or do anything that you're not supposed to do. But when I'm playing by myself, I'll sometimes hit an extra ball if nobody's waiting to play through or something like that, and count my best one that I shoot on a score.
You call that cheating?
I know it's cheating, but what can I do? I'm a liar, just like all other golfers.
You say that golf is more fun than walking naked in a strange place, but not much.
Yeah, that's what I say in my new book.
In your new book.
The Truth About Golf and Other Lies. I want to get that plug in for my book. You know? But that's a misquote. You see, I wrote every word in this book, but I didn't write it on paper. I dictated it into a tape machine. And what I said was, golf is better than waking naked in a strange place, but not much. It's a misquote in the book, but It sounds so much more entrenuous where I left it.
Buddy, among other good lies, what's your best 18-hole score?
Well, 2.5 years ago at Englewood Country Club, and Kyle Roach was with me in a foursome, I shot 34-35, 69.
Wee-hee.
And that's without any fixings or anything. That was the best I ever shot. But I was playing golf at that time for 4 months straight without a layoff. And that week I shot 78, 77, 77, 76, 75, 69. And then I went on a trip with my wife, and by the time I came back 7 weeks later, I couldn't break 90.
How long have you been playing golf?
Since 1950.
What got you interested in it?
My manager's wife bought him a set of clubs, and he didn't want to play, so he gave them to me.
And did you just go out and start swinging away, or did you take lessons from a pro?
I took lessons from a pro named Bob Stuhler. I was living in Beach Haven in Brooklyn. It's a bunch of houses, and across the street was a driving range, and he was a teaching pro there, and I took lessons from him.
What's your advice now for mixed twosomes and foursomes on the golf course?
You mean men and women playing together on the golf course?
Why not?
I have never become that much of a golf nut. When I'm involved with women, I'm not going to waste them on a golf course.
In other words, you're against mixed company on the golf course.
Well, if you got a lady, you don't have to play golf.
No, you could play chess or checkers or something else.
Yeah, sure. Len, you are a strange person indeed if you think this is what ladies for. Ladies are for holding and being warm and near and nice and soft.
You have indicated in your book that in order to be a good golfer, you must drink, smoke, and chase girls. How did you come to that conclusion?
Because I'm 44 years old, and I've been having a wonderful time the last 18 years.
For a guy who's done nothing but drink, smoke, and chase girls, you look in wonderful shape.
Oh, sure.
Would you credit that strictly to playing golf?
No, I think I got a wife that loves me and takes care of me real good. But also, when I play golf, I don't take a cart. I walk. And I play as often as I can. I'm walking those 18 holes every day.
That's tough.
Time passes nicely, and also you stay in pretty good shape.
How do you feel about that cart bit on a golf course as opposed to the caddy?
It's the worst thing in the world, because if a caddy steps on your foot, it ain't bad. But when a golf cart goes over you, wah!
Buddy, we'll continue our discussion about your new book, The Truth About Golf and Other Lies, in just a little while on Monitor. Thank you ever so much. Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
Now a word about Super Royal Triton. There's a lot that can be said for Super Royal Triton, the amazing purple motor oil from the Union Oil Company. Unfortunately, 30 seconds doesn't give much time to say it. There's one thing to remember, though. Super Royal Triton performs so well that it exceeds all car manufacturers' recommendations for motor oil. You can't ask more of any motor oil. So make sure you demand Super Royal Triton next time you're due for a change. You'll agree there's a lot to be said about Super Royal Triton motor oil. All of it good. By the way, beginning on Wednesday, NBC Radio and TV will present exclusive coverage of the World Series. Pete Jolly. In Lubbock, Texas, KCPD is the NBC station for the South Plains area. All the stations get a word in here, and then we'll be back for monitoring.
Hi, this is Joe Garagiola, and I'm going to have to ask you what you'll be doing next Wednesday. You'll be following the first game of the World Series on NBC Radio.
No, dear, they never went to Italy.
But they've got photos of themselves riding in a gondola.
They were taken at Abraham and Strauss Manhasset store. A real gondola on a real lake. And a masterpiece reproduction of Donatello's Statue of David.
Then what about that picture of her tossing coins into the Trevi Fountain?
At A&S Hempstead store. The Trevi Fountain in replica. 42 feet long.
Michelangelo, too?
An A&S Babylon store. A full-size bronze reproduction of the Pietà.
Next you'll tell me the Sistine Chapel is in Brooklyn.
How did you know? In A&S Brooklyn store. A 50-foot illuminated replica of Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel ceiling. It's all part of Italia Bellissima. A&S fantastic Italian import fair. Imagine Italy's loveliest creations.
Like Sophia and Gina?
Like Italian boutiques with extraordinary fashions, Italian craftsmen, Italian food.
Italia Bellissima. At all Abraham and Strauss stores now. It's worth a trip from anywhere.
We know the sun rises on Long John Neville. Do you? Long John, midnight to 5 a.m. weekdays, weekends till 6 on WNBC, Radio 66 New York.
This is Jim Hale, WNBC News. It's 3:30, 66 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. New York City's strike-bound schools may be open tomorrow. The break in the three-week-old crisis came within the hour when Mayor Lindsay announced that the Teachers Union and the Board of Education had signed a written agreement which should allow city schools to open tomorrow. Lindsay read his statement on the steps of Gracie Mansion after more than 16 hours of intensive discussions with all parties involved in the dispute. The mayor said Teachers Union President Albert Schenker and Supervisors Association Head Walter Deegan had both agreed to recommend to their respective memberships that they return to school tomorrow. Following Lindsay's announcement, Schenker said he was recommending to his union executive board that the agreement be accepted. The Union Executive Committee is meeting now at Union Headquarters to vote on that agreement. The 55,000-member Teachers Union will vote on the strike-ending agreement at 7 o'clock tonight at the National Maritime Union Building at 7th Avenue and 13th Street. Mayor Lindsay said that the board and the city have provided appropriate safeguards for teacher rights and teacher safety. The mayor said the board's plan would also allow the important experiment in education reform in the Ocean Hill-Brownsville district to proceed. However, the Reverend C. Herbert Oliver, chairman of that local district's governing board, said he would not comment on the settlement until he could read a copy of it. He said he expected to receive a copy of the agreement and meet with other members of the local board sometime this afternoon. Once again, Mayor Lindsay says the Teachers Union and the Board of Education have signed a written agreement which should allow city schools to open tomorrow. The forecast, mostly sunny and pleasant this afternoon and Monday, highest both days in the 70s. At the 70s, clear and cool tonight, lowest around 50. The present temperature is 66. Jim Iyer, WNBC News, now back to monitor.
The moment I caught sight of her, the light of her, the bright of her, I could see she would be the most beautiful thing in my life. Where she walks, the earth is greener, and the clouds all run away, and she brings a little sunshine into everybody's day. You know, every time she's close to me, she glows to me, a rose to me, the shining star she's by far.
The Most Beautiful Thing in My Life by Herman's Hermits on Monitor.
Come on, now soft it to the beat. Sing me a song. Let's keep the music moving. We're going strong. One more.
There's been a lot of loose talk, and some tight talk, recently, about the possibility of no winner emerging from this coming presidential election. If such a thing should happen, the decision would be thrown into the House. Well, what then? A political observer who has written a book on the subject explains it all in just a few minutes. And he explains it very clearly. Monitor music. There's got to be a better way. Hugo Montenegro's orchestra and chorus.
Thank you.
politics is complicated, ain't it? If you don't agree, consider the situation the experts predict we may face. Monitor reporter Betty Grobley elaborates on this.
In this election year of 1968, we hear the phrase over and over again that the election may be thrown into the House. Well, my guest is Ted Venatoulis, and he's written a book about that very prospect, which he calls The House Shall Choose. Now, Ted, I don't think very many of us understand exactly the import of this. Will you explain it, please?
Sure, Betty. Let me try to do it as simply as we can. The Constitution of the United States says very clearly and very simply that if no presidential candidate receives a majority of the electoral votes, a majority, which in 1968 would be 270 electoral votes, then the election falls into the hands of the House of Representatives. And the House of Representatives then convenes in Washington to choose a president. Let me try to perhaps give an example of what might happen. If in 1968 Richard Nixon received 269 electoral votes, Mr. Humphrey received 240 electoral votes, and Mr. Wallace received the rest of the electoral votes, no candidate would have received the necessary constitutional majority. And according to the scripture of the Constitution, the House of Representatives must then convene to pick a president. The House chooses a president from among the top three candidates in the electoral balloting. If there were four or five or six presidential candidates seeking the office, the House would have to confine its choice to those three candidates who were on the top three of the electoral balloting.
All right, now how do they go about selecting from 3-1?
This is a very intriguing process. There are 435 members of the House of Representatives today. The House, however, does not vote by individuals. It would vote by states, and each state would have one vote. The state of Maryland, which has eight congressmen, for example, those eight congressmen would convene in a caucus, and then they would cast their individual votes within their state caucus. If the vote went 5-3 for Mr. Humphrey, the state of Maryland in the House of Representatives would cast one vote for the Democratic nominee, Mr. Humphrey, in the House of Representatives. Now, this is a very unfortunate, very tragic...
Now, wait a minute. Let me back up. Assume that it was 4-4.
If it was 4-4, if the Maryland delegation split 4-4 in its individual caucus, the state of Maryland loses its vote in the House of Representatives. Anytime a state is evenly divided, the state loses its vote. This could happen in New York on a tie. New York, I think, has 40 congressmen. If it divided 20-20, the 16 million people of the state of New York would have no representation in the House of Representatives. It's that unfortunate a process. And there are other elements to it that, look what it leads to. It's tragically malapportioned, for example. The state of New York, with so many millions of people, has only one vote in the House of Representatives. The state of Delaware, with less than a million people and only one congressman, has an equal voice with the state of New York in the House of Representatives. It is conceivable that 59 congressmen, representing less than 15% of the country, could control the choice of the President of the United States in the House of Representatives. That's how malapportioned the system is.
Has this ever happened in the past, Ted?
Yes, Betty, it's happened twice, and that basically is the narrative of my book, The House Shall Choose. And incidentally, The House Shall Choose is the exact quote from the Constitution, which gives the House the power to choose a President. That's why we chose that as a title. But it has happened twice. It's happened in 1800, and it's happened again in 1824.
Quickly, what was the situation in 1800?
It was a tie in the Electoral College between Jefferson and Burr, and one would think that was a reasonable choice, but it took the Congress 35 torturous ballots to finally pick Jefferson. In 1824, it was a lot of candidates who got into the House, and finally a deal was consummated between Adams and Clay. Clay became Secretary of State, and for that he threw his weight behind John Adams. Adams became president. Now, the prospect is severe that it can happen today simply because of the strong candidacy of third-party Governor George Wallace. That's what makes it potential today. That's why the prospect is so heightened today that the House of Representatives might end up choosing a president.
We've been talking with Ted Venatoulis about the situation that the House shall choose, which is the title of his book. This is Betty Grobley in Washington.
Jimmy Rosselli's latest, You Are Mine. And you are also on the Monitor Beacon. Make a quick getaway with me, Jack Hayes. Weekdays from 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 66 New York. You'll enjoy the bright sounds, the fun, and the excitement. And we'll have you back in time for lunch, too. Jack Hayes, 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 66. Happiness is a thing called apps. Apps stuffed lasagna, featured in two sizes in your grocer's frozen food case. You can feed a family of five with a complete meal for less than $2 when you buy the 4-pound package of apps stuffed lasagna. It's appetizing, appealing, absolutely delicious. Serve apps for quick, easy meals, for teenage snacks, or for dinner tonight. That's apps, stuffed lasagna with sauce, in the red and yellow 1-pound or 4-pound packages in your grocer's frozen food case. Represented by Nickel Brothers Associates, Fort Lee, New Jersey.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Here's Brenda Byers and her latest, The Auctioneer.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go, then. What are you going to give for him? I'm a 25, will you give me $30? 30, make it 30, bid it 30, 35 now. 40, make it 40, bid it 40 now. 5, make it 45 now. 50 on the mark. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him that he should go to school. Away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, and pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer talks rapidly. He said, oh my, it's a do or die, I forgot to learn that auction climb, make the mark and be an auctioneer. What if I'm gonna be now, put it out, put it bit of 30, make it 30, bit of 40, put it out, put it bit of 30, put it bit of 30, dollar bid. Timing on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest. Practice call him fist, both night and day. His dad would find him behind the barn, just working up a heck of a storm, as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pop said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man. Nobody's fool. You can take the place among the best. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let them out. Welcome, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are you going to get for him? I'm a 20 trying to get a 30 30 make a 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30 30
Your wash can be white, it can even be bright, if you'll only put some coal power in it. If you'll only put some coal power in it. You know, I do a lot of traveling around this country. I used to have a lot of problems on the Chitlin Circuit trying to find hot water to wash out my washing wares. But no more, baby. Now any place you find cold water, you can groove. Because coal power powder don't need nothing else.
Your washing wares will hold their creases and won't seem to wear out as fast as they did in hot water. Yes, with Cold Power Powder, you'll be grooving clean on clean in clean. All you gotta do is just sock some Cold Power to it. Sock a little Cold Power to it. Sock it to it. Some Cold Power Powder. Sock it. Cold Power Powder. Sock it.
Hackett continues to dig divots next on Monitor Sports, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation's Customer Care Program.
This is Bob Hope, complete with hardtop, fastback, and bucket seat, which is pretty appropriate since I'm going to talk about an exclusive from Chrysler Corporation. It's called Customer Care, and it comes as standard equipment on every Chrysler-built car. Customer Care covers more problems than a security blanket, and it starts from the time they fasten the first bolt on your brand new car. When they say they don't build them like they used to, it's a cinch they're not talking about Chrysler Corporation. Because their quality control begins from the time your car is nothing more than a gleam in an engineer's eye. And everyone works with just one idea in mind, to see to it that the beauty of Chrysler-built cars is a lot more than only skin deep. And it sure pays off for both you and Chrysler. Because no matter how much the new models change from year to year, one thing at Chrysler stays the same. And that's the quality of the product. Why not sample it yourself? Try a little Customer Care at your Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer soon.
Buddy Hackett's a funny man on the air, on the golf course, and on paper. Another report from Monitor Sports editor Len Billen.
Buddy, let's continue discussing golf and your new book, The Truth About Golf and Other Lies. Does your wife, Sherry, consider herself a golf widow?
No, because I play early in the morning and she doesn't get up until I have the capacity to go to bed late and get up early. So when I get up and by the time I'm finished playing golf, she's only been up about an hour and a half, so she doesn't miss me that much.
You know, if we can get back to your taking lessons from your golf pro in Brooklyn on the driving range, when your game goes sour, do you go back to a pro?
I flew to Houston, Texas the other day to see Jackie Burke and Jerry DeMert just because my game wasn't going well.
What was wrong with the game?
Well, I was hitting the ball a lot to the right, and I wasn't getting the distance I had been getting.
Uh-huh.
They corrected my hitting to the right by having moved my right hand underneath a little bit. Also, Jackie says to pronate a little bit, which means to revolve your club as you cut into the ball, which gives you kind of a draw effect. And they told me not to worry about the distance, because as we've all gotten older together, they're not hitting the ball as far as they used to either.
How much distance do you get on your drives normally?
A real good drive for me now is about 225.
What were you doing prior to this?
240, 245.
Yeah.
In fact, at the presidential golf course in Florida, that's one of the diplomat hotel courses, in 1963, I drove the 18th green, which is 358 yards. There was a tailwind, but there were 500 golfers out that day, and I was the only one did it.
Oh, boy.
So,
that's getting a lot of distance.
Yeah, I was hitting the ball. One time I was playing, this is not a story that's in my book, but it's going to like, you know, people to know that this book is not just for golfers. Everybody will get a laugh out of it. It's written for anyone to understand. But I was once playing with Niklas at Vernon Hills in a tournament, and I was on a par three about 7 feet from the pin, and if I suck it and get a birdie, then we'll be up there for first place money. And he said, do you know how to play this putt? I said, do I tell you how to tell jokes?
How did the idea of your book come about, by the way?
My wife insisted that I write something. She said, I think you're such an interesting speaker, you should be able to write something good. And I was always against it. And then this fellow, Jerry Tarcher, came along, and we became friends, and he told me he had, he's a book producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about, he said, all you have to do, I'll give you a list of questions, and you look at those questions and talk into a tape recorder, and we'll have a book out of it. And that's the way it came about.
Buddy, what's, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I play Las Vegas 20 weeks a year now, and I have two movies. I've just finished a movie at Disney called The Love Bug. It's about automobile racing and about a car that has a soul of its own. And I'm making another picture at Disney in the near future with Jimmy Stewart, and then I'm going to make one at Warner Brothers. So between Las Vegas and the pictures, that'll take care of my career nicely. I have not run for television except for the interview shows.
Well, buddy, we want to thank you for being our guest on Monitor Sports. We certainly appreciate
it. Thank you, Len, and I hope everybody buys my book.
And I was about to say, we certainly hope that the book, The Truth About Golf and Other Lies by Buddy Hackett, is a big seller, and I don't see why it shouldn't be.
Well, if they don't find it funny, they could send it back to me, and I'll send them a letter of condolence.
Buddy Hackett, thank you ever so much. Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. Be sure to listen for the latest news and then stay tuned for more of Monitor. My name is Morgan. How'd you like to get $52,000 or more without working for it? Well, it's possible by following this simple plan. Let's suppose you start at age 25 and deposit $50 a month at the Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn. At age 65, you'd have over $76,000 before taxes, yet you deposited only $24,000. The balance, $52,000, was dividends, money you didn't have to work for. Of course, you can start at any age with proportionate results. This merely illustrates the mighty power of compound dividends at the Dime of Brooklyn. These figures are based on the Dime of Brooklyn's latest dividend of 5% a year paid from day of deposit, compounded quarterly, and now an extra bonus. All deposits received on or before October 10th will earn dividends from October 1st. While you're at it, make it a trust savings account and provide for your loved ones by naming on the account those you want to provide for. Don't delay. Do this for postage-free forms to open your trust savings account by mail. Write Trust Savings, WNBC Radio, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York. The Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn is the big savings bank for all New York, a member of the FDIC.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.